Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition. This is a spinoff, a unique podcast, spun off from the original Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which is available in Season 7, over 30 episodes in. Find the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for information on all 32 teams at any time via joebucksfan.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. This is specifically the Bucks Bulletin. It's the brainchild of Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I spent some quality time yesterday with two of my favorite people from Brandon Legal Group as we talked about sports, we talked about golf tournaments, and we talked a little business. They are your full-service law firm. What does that mean? Well, that means domestic violence injunctions. That means divorce. That means child support adjustment. That means post-judgment. That means family law. For a free consult to see if your legal need falls within what they do, you can call 844-4BLG-4ME or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Again, they are your full-service law firm, and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. It was their idea 4 years ago at one of our lunch meetings like this that they said, why don't we create a unique fantasy broadcast every week during the fantasy season, just talking fantasy with the Bucks and that week's opponent. And here we are, fourth season we're doing this, and week three, Packers and Buccaneers. I am recording this on Thursday morning, not sure when you will hear it, not sure when it is posted. So please be sensitive to the fact that you may know information now by the time you listen to this that dates or updates this podcast. So don't blame me. At the time I'm recording this on Thursday morning, everything I have is current to shape my opinions on the fantasy players in Packers and Buccaneers. Let's start with the visiting Packers. Aaron Rodgers isn't a particularly strong QB1, but if you made the investment in drafting Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback, at this point, I can't assume that you have someone else on your bench or someone else you can pick up on waivers. Let's just put it this way. If you did pick up Carson Wentz off his 4-touchdown performance in week two, I don't think you're flipping Wentz for Rodgers in week three. I understand picking up Wentz, but I think it's going to go south for Carson Wentz or regress to the normal number for Wentz before you have a real argument over Aaron Rodgers. Jared Goff, I think there's more of an argument there, although Goff's coming off, 4 touchdowns, and in week one, his running backs ran for 3 touchdowns. So I still think, while I didn't invest in Aaron Rodgers this year simply because I don't think he has any wide receivers to throw to, because I'm not a believer in Alan Lazard, and without Devontae Adams there, to me, it's a blatant weakness. You're still playing Aaron Rodgers in this game, even against the Tampa Bay defense. One of the things you have going for you is there's no Ndamukong Suh lining up opposite Aaron Rodgers. That's Aaron Rodgers' kryptonite. Well, that and the playoffs since Super Bowl 45, where Aaron Rodgers is 7-9 in postseason play since winning Super Bowl 45. He seems to blame a lot of other people for the fact that he hasn't gone to more Super Bowls when he can stand in front of a mirror and ask himself, why am I only 7-9? And he's a major reason why he hasn't gone back to a Super Bowl. This isn't a playoff game. Granted, he hasn't played well in Tampa Bay, but or against the Buccaneers. No Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh is Aaron Rodgers' kryptonite, and he's not out there. So that is a plus for Aaron Rodgers that he doesn't have to worry about Ndamukong Suh in this particular game. The problem for Rodgers remains, who the heck can he throw to? He wanted more Sammy Watkins involvement last week. He got it. Watkins caught 3 balls. One was a long catch and run. considering Lazard is fighting an ankle injury, I expect Lazard to go. Lazard did get in the end zone last week. It's really Lazard and Watkins as the two wide receivers you can play in Green Bay right now from a fantasy standpoint. I don't think either are particularly strong plays. We're not at the point yet. I want to like the future of Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, but I don't think you can play those guys yet. And Watson is fighting a hamstring injury, and Romeo isn't on the field a ton yet. So that's where you are. Randall Cobb, yeah, believe it or not, he's still playing. Rodgers loves the guy, but there's just only so much Randall Cobb can do at this point and at his age. So it's limited. You play both of the top running backs. I know the Bucs are very good against the run, but if you own Aaron Jones, you're not sitting him. And if you own A.J. Dillon, you're not sitting him because they're going to touch the ball. They combined for 37 touches last week against the Chicago Bears. I get it. The Bucs are a better defense than the Bears. The Bears don't have Khalil Mack anymore. The Bears aren't a tough run defense. They haven't been for a while now. But there are certain players whose value and whose volume you do not subject them to the matchup. And that applies to Jones and to Dillon based on their touch counts. They are the two best play offensive players on the field other than Aaron Rodgers. So finding ways to get them involved is something Matt LaFleur is going to have to do along with Aaron Rodgers against the Bucs defense. So the plays for the Packers to me are Rodgers. Not a particularly strong QB1 play, but you made the investment. I wouldn't expect a 2-touchdown game from Aaron Jones. I wouldn't expect huge things from A.J. Dillon. And if you need to start a Packer wide receiver, you might be able to get away with Watkins and Lazard, although to me both are somewhat touchdown dependent in what's expected to be a low-scoring game. All right, so from the Bucs side of things, Brady, only 2 touchdown passes through 2 weeks, not a lot of yardage. If you invested in Tom Brady, you're itching to get more. He's been below average for you at the quarterback position the first couple of weeks. Fournette touched the ball 26 times last week, after he was terrific against the Dallas Cowboys in week one. I still think Fournette is a strong RB1 play based on volume. Okay, let me take a breath before we do all the wide receivers for the Bucs. This, again, the information I have as of Thursday morning. You know, Evans is suspended. The suspension is upheld. So if you own Mike Evans, it's Mike Evans' fault. You can't play him this week with his undisciplined move in the New Orleans game. So get Evans out of your lineup. Julio Jones, still bothered by a knee injury suffered on his long catch late in the first half against the Dallas Cowboys. In the end, I don't think Julio Jones is going to go. And for Tampa Bay fans who continue to rave about Julio Jones and he was the star of camp, let's look at the results now through 3 weeks, especially if he doesn't play. It's no different from what he did in 2020 in Atlanta and 2021 in Tennessee. He looks one thing, but when does he actually play and produce? This will be one game where he made some plays, and then he sits out too. Godwin, still bothered by the hamstring. This could go either way. You just have to keep checking status on him. You have to keep checking status on Jones. It feels more like Jones won't go stronger than Godwin won't go. Russell Gage will be out there, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of fantasy points there with Russell Gage right now. He seems to be running very short routes just to get first downs. Granted, the Bucs haven't, you know, been inside the 5-yard line a lot to see what his role is in the end zone. We all know that's Mike Evans first and probably, you know, Fournette second until Godwin's 100% healthy. I am invested in Russell Gage in a league, but he's hanging by a thread right now. You kind of need to see a game from him. And last week would have been an opportunity for that with no Godwin, and then Evans gets suspended and Gage doesn't get you the fantasy points you need from starting pass catcher. And that pretty much does it with the Buccaneer pass catchers. We talked about Fournette. We talked about Brady. Both kickers, okay. Nothing exciting there. But based on some of the limitations on offense, yeah, I could see 4 or 5 field goal attempts in this game. Weather shouldn't be a factor. Should be a dry day. So, yeah, I think Crosby and Suckup, if you don't own one of the higher profile kickers like a Justin Tucker or Daniel Carlson, Harrison Butker's been injured. It's been sort of an odd year for kickers. I mean, Matt Prater, I don't think, has attempted a field goal with Arizona. It's tough to make sense of kickers anyway, but yeah, I could see Crosby and Suckup both getting a couple of field goal attempts in a lower scoring game where you get as many field goal attempts as you get touchdowns. So that's the best sense I can make of this on a Thursday morning. Again, keep checking status as it relates to Lazard, as it relates to Godwin, as it relates to Jones for injury status relating to Packers and Bucks leading up to their afternoon start on Sunday. Got it? Okay. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, presents the Bucks Bulletin every week through week 17 of the fantasy season. Visit BrandonLegalGroup.com for a free consultation. Thanks for listening.